ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय Someone setting up a book table now? Okay. How many of you are new here? Coming for the first time, or second time, or third time? Just a few. And regular visitors? Or residents?
Regular
and residents. Yeah, okay. So it's a mixed crowd. Well, obviously this is a very different kind of gathering to the average kind of gathering that goes on in Manipal on Saturday night. That Krishna temple is there. We used to have programs there.
Yeah,
Venugopal, yeah. Many times I went there on Saturday night, many years ago. And students go there also? Some of them.
Yes, we used to have.
Yeah. But more there, anyway, we better not to talk about all the other things that go on here. You all know very well, and you've decided to come here. So this is a different kind of gathering for different kind of people. So I'm going to speak on the subject, think different. Have you ever heard that before? Think different. Ever heard that? What's that connected with? Any idea?
Thinking out of the box.
Thinking out of the box, yeah. Specifically, that's the motto which is drilled into the employees, although they probably don't use the word employee, but they are employees of the Apple Corporation in Silicon Valley. So I was once supposed to go and give a lecture there, but it didn't happen. But I prepared it, and my notes have been sitting there ever since. So I thought I'd speak it tonight because this is a very... Well, for one thing, you're a very... The ones of you who are coming here are different to other Manipal students in as much as you're coming here. And the Manipal students in general are trying to be different to traditional Indians or ordinary Indians, but being different, they all end up being different the same way. So they just fit another stereotype. My generation, well, I came at the end of the hippie era. You've probably heard of hippies. If Srila Prabhupada was preaching among the hippies, and their whole idea was to be different to everyone else by wearing different clothes and not having jobs, and the music was new and different at the time. Rock music was new. It was exciting, but they all ended up being different the same way, so they just made a new stereotype. So thinking outside the box, think different. This is Apple's motto. Why is that? Because if they just do the same thing, then they'll lose their business. They have to always do something different, do something new to attract the customers. So this idea, you should always be different. Okay, here's a Being Different book. It's called Bhagavad Gita. Bhagavad Gita, as it is. When I first saw this book, I thought it's a very strange title. Why do you think it's a strange title?
Because there are other editions available in the...
There are others available. I'd read an edition of Bhagavad Gita before, just a translation, without any explanation. And I went all through it, and I thought it was very nice, and I didn't understand anything. And at the end it said, I can't even remember who it was by, and at the end, the only comment was, "May Lord Sri Krishna bless you." And I thought, okay, that's nice. That's all I remember from that. Now, I thought it was very strange because of the title, As It Is. Why As It Is? If you go to buy apples, it doesn't, of course nowadays it's all in Big Bazaar, in a bag, plastic wrapped, 1 kilo, but previously you'd go to the bazaar and someone is, well, let's say apples, they're all the same anyway, more or less in India. Well, there's imported and there's Himachal ones. But mangoes, okay, there's so many varieties of mangoes. And the seller will tell, oh, very good mango, first class. It's actually real mango. Well, you expect, if it's a mango, it's a mango, right? He doesn't say, it's not a plastic mango. It's a real mango. You expect it's a real mango. So if you see Bhagavad Gita, you expect, well, it's Bhagavad Gita. So why do you have to say, as it is? When I came to read this, then I understood that Srila Prabhupada put, as it is, suggesting that other editions are not Bhagavad Gita as it is. How can it be Bhagavad Gita and not Bhagavad Gita? If it's Bhagavad Gita, okay, why do you have to say as it is? And the other alternative would be Bhagavad Gita, but it's not really Bhagavad Gita. What's the meaning of Bhagavad Gita as it is? By saying this, Srila Prabhupada is saying that other editions, they're mostly not really Bhagavad Gita at all. How many of you have you read this book, Bhagavad Gita as it is, cover to cover? All right, those of you who haven't done, please do so. Your life will be highly enriched by doing so. If you don't, in this lifetime, read this book, you really wasted your life. So, whoops, what was that? Srila Prabhupada presents Bhagavad Gita as it is. It means it's different to other editions. And he explains herein that other people have taken Bhagavad Gita and explained it not as Krishna explained it to Arjuna. They're giving a different meaning. They have their own idea. They know Bhagavad Gita is very popular. So they put Bhagavad Gita and then they give their commentary, which is not what Krishna said to Arjuna. So this Bhagavad Gita as it is different from other editions, inasmuch as it gives what Krishna actually wanted to say. Now, what did Krishna say? Krishna was being different. Arjuna said, I don't want to fight. You all know the story of Bhagavad Gita. Arjuna didn't want to fight, and Krishna convinced him to do so. Now, if we hear the story of Bhagavad Gita, Arjuna, he's lining up there, ready to fight, and all of a sudden, he becomes disturbed and says, I don't want to fight. He became a pacifist. And you would think that, well, it's a spiritual book. Krishna's speaking to Arjuna. Krishna is God. So it's a spiritual book. So Krishna must agree with Arjuna not to fight. But it's round the other way. He tells Arjuna, you're a big fool. You don't know what you're talking about. You should fight. You may think, well, that's not very spiritual. That sounds more something like this jihadi Islam. It sounds very dangerous. In fact, some people criticize like that. That Bhagavad Gita, it's inciting someone who didn't want to fight to fight. Although actually, if we see the whole cultural history of India, the Bhagavad Gita, it's not been a book that's incited people to do something like jihad. Is there any such record? Of course, the way jihad is interpreted by some schools of Islam at the present time, it means to wage a religious war. But apparently the real meaning is to wage war against what we would say is kam, krodh, lobh, moha, mada, mada. That's the real war, to fight against the enemies within. The contaminations within us, to make a spiritual quest So Krishna spoke something very different, and Krishna's message in Bhagavad Gita goes against everything that we in this material world think is right and proper. For instance, Krishna says that this material world is dukhalayam. It is a place of misery. But everyone's trying to be happy in this world. Manipal is a great Bhagavad Gita demonstration, laboratory. Because everyone's trying to be happy, right? Of course, everyone in the material world is, but there are no major restrictions here on meat-eating, illicit sex. I'm not sure if gambling goes on here. Intoxication, it's all here. Which you won't, if you just go down to Udupi, it's just a completely different culture, at least at the Krishna Mart. So the whole idea is to be happy, right? Just go for it, fully. You have money, spend it. And do everything which you shouldn't do. Although in Manipal, there's no idea that you shouldn't do it. What you shouldn't do, they think you should do. Adharmam dharmam itiya. Manyase tamasavrita. Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, to think that dharma is adharma and vice versa, that means you're covered by tamaguna, by darkness. Anyone who thinks like that. So, you can tell me. I know the answer, but you also know it very well. Is the average Manipal student who's indulging in all these things, meat-eating, illicit sex, rock music, or whatever music, I don't know, what do they call it nowadays? What's it called?
EDM.
Huh?
EDM.
Electronic dance music. Electronic dance music. EDM. Everything's an acronym nowadays. What else is there? Intoxication. Are they happy? It's no with a capital N. And make it a capital O and put a few exclamation marks after it also. They're not happy. That's already stated in Bhagavad Gita. Yehi saṃsparśa ja bhoga dukha yone evate adyanta vanta kaunteyana teshu ramate buddha. You're looking as if you're trying to work out what the verse means. Is it? Do you know what the verse means? Yehi saṃsparśa. What is the happiness that is aimed after in Manipal and actually all over the world and in not only in humans but in other species of life also? It's called saṃsparśaja bhoga. It means enjoying the senses. Let me put in front of my eyes what I like to see. Let me taste all kinds of things that I like to taste. Blood. Does the fish smell come up here? In Udupi we get the fish smell. Does it come this far? Doesn't come this far. You just get the meat smell when you go outside. People are, what is that? They like to eat meat. Ugh. Blood. Ugh. But they think it's very nice. So people think they will be happy by enjoying the senses. But the result, Krishna says, it's just the opposite. Just the opposite. The more we try to enjoy the senses, the more we suffer in this material world. So that's different, isn't it? That's a really different message to that you get from advertisements, the general culture. The general idea is, yeah, you're young, enjoy yourself. Get out there. Let yourself go. Be wild. But the result is suffering. And it's not just some philosophical, theoretical concept. Is it? So many suicides, depression cases, here in Manipur. I haven't even investigated it. I can just imagine that it's there, right? I didn't take a survey or ask anyone, but it must be, because in all these places where on the one hand there's pressure to study and study, and on the other hand there's pressure, it's this heavy social pressure to enjoy yourself to the fullest. Unless you're drunk, you're not properly, you're a social misfit. Unless you're drunk on Sunday. But it just produces misery. So Bhagavad Gita is a very, very different book to any kinds of books that you're used to. So many books. By the time you get to, even before you get to Manipal, you've been through so many books. You see the, I don't know if it's the kids going to school. They used to go to school carrying huge stacks of books. And they have to try and cram it all in their heads and then vomit it up at the examination. You read so many books, but they won't teach you this. Because they want to stereotype you. They want to make you a... All this education is to make you a member of a society which has no spiritual knowledge, which is just based on earning money, getting a house, and enjoying yourself by sense enjoyment. That's it. You are a rat in a machine for turning out more and more rats for the rat race. And if you're a big fat rat, you think, now I'm very successful, instead of a skinny, scrawny rat who can't afford to eat all the horrible things they sell and they call food here. So Bhagavad Gita gives us a completely different perspective. But when they say think different at Apple, they're not thinking like this. They're thinking how we can think in a different way to make some new kind of invention that we can sell so that we can get more money. But it's not intrinsically thinking differently. It's all the same thing. Everything in the material world just comes down to dukhalayama shashvatam. Everything here is miserable and everything here is temporary. But there is good news also. Parastasmatu bhavano vyakto vyaktat sanatanaha. Yassa sarveshu. Yassa sarveshu kaleshu nashyatsu na vinashyati. Everything in this material world is created and destroyed. This body came into being at some point in time. It will be finished. You mostly all young bodies, then we have some middle-aged bodies, then older bodies, and after that comes dead bodies. And after that comes new bodies. It goes on, round and round and round, samsara chakra. You come out of the womb screaming, and you become very hopeful, yes, we're going to have another great life, and then struggle, 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 and die, and then again, and again, and again, punarapi jananam, punarapi maranam. On and on and on. So, think different. This is, actually, they don't even know English grammar. It should be think differently. For your information, we should go and tell Google that before you make this motto, they probably thought about it, and then maybe not, because mostly Indians over there. Indian English. No, it's American English. I'm from England, and English people never like American English or Indian English. For that matter, we, from the south of England, we don't like Lancashire English or Geordie English, or a bit of snobbishness there. If we think too differently, they won't like it. If an Apple employee comes in and says, think different. I thought of something different altogether. Let's chant Hare Krishna and not waste our time working so hard to get money which doesn't make us happy. They'll kick you out of the company. Think different, but not too different. You have to think, the main thing is making money. And if you can think of different ways to make money, that's very good. But if you come up and say, what is the use of all this money? Steve Jobs, he was thinking differently and he made this whole company. And then he died, and I shall also die. So before I die, I want to find out how I can not get born again. No, that's not allowed. You can only think how to make more money. You can think in different ways how to make more money. Because if you do the same thing that everyone else is doing, then you don't have a product to sell. That's on how the whole fashion business goes on. They make different hairstyles, every so often different hairstyles. Now the modern hairstyle for men is to have some, looks like a cake on top of the head. That's the latest one. And then they'll have something different and different and different. Because they have to keep on, if it's the same all the time, then there's nothing new to sell. So it's all based on making money, exploitation. There's nothing very different about that, actually. It's been going on since time immemorial, this whole material world. Why is it a place of misery? Well, what's the answer? Janma mrityu jara vyadhi, that's one reason. Birth, death, old age and disease. That's the obvious thing. But what's going on is that everyone wants to enjoy this world and everyone is trying to exploit everyone else. So it's a world of exploitation. That means everyone is trying to manipulate everyone else. Or if someone is in a weak position, he may present himself as very humble, and very just because he's trying to survive being exploited by someone else. So it's a world of exploitation. There's no love in this material world. Oh, really? And that's Bollywood finished, huh? And Hollywood, all of them, they're all finished. But there's no real love. There's just a perverted reflection of real love. Real love is Radha and Krishna. That's real love. And what is in this material world? Simply everyone is trying to fulfill their own desire. Atendriya priti vancha tare bale kam krishnendriya priti icha dhare premanam. There's a difference. What we call love in this material world is just some feeling of lust based on our own desire to satisfy what we think is myself. That's why we find that young men, they fall in love with young women. They don't fall in love with 90-year-old women. Oh, so beautiful. No, 90-year-old woman is never beautiful. Young, pretty, attractive, and vice versa. Young women, they want... If we say to a young woman, oh, it's very nice for you to marry, arrange marriage, and the man is 73 years old, and she's 22. Will she agree? I don't think so. Because there's the idea in youth, it's attractive. You can. Why is youth attractive? Well, certainly someone of 27 generally looks better than someone of 72. And also they can enjoy, they have strength and vigor and energy and hope. So, we fall in love or whatever with the idea of here is a good partner with whom I can enjoy sense gratification. We don't think of it philosophically like that, but that's how it works. But real love is in the spiritual world where Radha and Krishna are always young and everyone is serving them. And the happiness comes from service, not from exploitation, from recognizing Krishna as supreme. That, and we are, if we serve Him, we become completely happy. That is called prem. The idea to satisfy Krishna's transcendental senses, that is called prem. And I shall enjoy my senses, this is called kama, material desire, which simply results in repeated birth and death. It results in everyone trying to enjoy everyone else. So there's competition, exploitation, and it all ends up in suffering. So this material world is a place of suffering. So we are recommending, on the basis of Bhagavad Gita, think differently. Have a thinking molded by Bhagavad Gita. Thinking differently means thinking as Krishna teaches us what is the actual nature of reality. If everyone thought completely differently, it would be a complete chaos, wouldn't it? If everyone was completely different in their way of thinking, it would be absolutely chaotic. That's why generally you see in one culture they'll have one set of rules and ideas that's in a simplistic way we can say that's why there's a lot of tension, it tends to be a lot of tension between Hindus and Muslims, because they have a different set of values which in many cases conflict with each other. If a Hindu is in a Muslim house and they want to serve beef, no. They want to kill the cow, no. Of course nowadays Hindus, things have changed, but at least up to a generation ago, most Hindus would be very upset at the killing of cows, but Muslims say it's very good. They're different. Their way of thinking is so different that it leads to a clash. And that's just between two communities. What if every single person had a completely different set of values to everyone else? Be absolute chaos. So when we say think differently, it doesn't mean that when Krishna tells us to think differently, it doesn't mean that Krishna tells us all just to become completely independent thinkers, but to learn what is the way to understand everything in a manner that will be most beneficial for us. In other words, to understand what is the actual truth. What is the actual nature of reality? What is it that we have to understand? What is it that we have to do so that we can become actually happy? This material world is a place of misery. It's not just a theory. It's not a Hindu idea. You can say Bhagavad Gita, Hindus, they say it's Hindu Bible. Right? You've heard that? Hindu Bible. But in Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, janma mrityu jara vyadhi dukkha dosha anudarshanam etaj jnanam. This is knowledge to understand, to see by the instruction of others, and one can practically see oneself, that this material world, the very nature of it is that there is birth, death, old age and disease, which is suffering. Is this a Hindu theory? If you convert from Hinduism to Christianity, will you stop? You won't get any more disease? Maybe you go to these Christian healing, what is it, faith healing, and throw away your crutches. But if that was a fact, that just by believing in Jesus everyone would be healed, then all these hospitals would be out of business. Right? Christians don't get sick. Everyone gets sick. Everyone has to die. Everyone has to be, they don't know, they have to be reborn. Suffering is there for everyone. This is not a Hindu belief. This is fact, as stated in Bhagavad Gita. So Krishna gives us the knowledge. It's a different way of thinking. It's a different way of thinking, but it's not that Krishna says that, well, everyone just think differently, whatever you like. But he teaches us, understand what he is saying. Because what Krishna says is valuable for everyone. But it's not this, it's not the message that everyone wants to hear. It's not the message that Arjuna wanted to hear in the beginning. But eventually he was able to hear that. So what is the basic message of Bhagavad Gita? That we are suffering in this material world because we identify with this body. If I ask someone, who are you? Who are you? Yourself there. Now you're going to say, I'm a spirit soul. You read, so you can understand, I'm not this body. But conventionally, if someone asks you, if you have to enroll in the college at Manipal and they say, what is your age? And you put that infinity sign. I think this guy is too smart. Place of birth, I am unborn. And you must say, it must be God. They say, it must be God. Okay, for you, you are unlimitedly rich. So for you, the fees will be more than double. But conventionally, okay, all right. Okay, someone, what is your name? My name is Rajiv Gupta. That sounds like an ordinary Indian name. Rajiv Gupta, okay. And how old are you? 21. Well, I'm a student at some college in my... So conventionally we say that. But Krishna teaches us. All right, conventionally we say that, but we have nothing to do with this actually. Lord Brahma sits on a lotus, looking down at the whole universe with his four heads. And in his one day, we take so many births. If he sneezes, pretty dangerous thing for the universe if Brahma sneezes. In the time that he sneezes, if he's looking at you and he sneezes, by the time he's blown his nose and everything, you already went through so many births. There's a story of one Raivat Maharaj. He came from Earth. He went to see Lord Brahma in Brahma Loka, where the time scale is different. This is way, way before Einstein in the Vedic literatures, in the Puranas. Is described that the time in different planets goes on at a different rate. Later Einstein came and worked it all out, but it's already there in the Puranas. So he came and he wanted to speak to Lord Brahma, but he got delayed. There was some function going on. So then he spoke to Lord Brahma and said, I need to find a good husband for my daughter. So could you suggest anyone? There was a little delay, 20 minutes, something like that. And Lord Brahma, he's laughed and said that everyone you just came up from Earth, everyone you were thinking of as a possible husband for your daughter, they're dead. Not only are they dead, all their descendants are hundreds of generations of their descendants are dead. Why? Because Brahma's 1 minute is equivalent to thousands and thousands of years on this planet. And we're thinking, oh, my life is so important, I got to pass my degree, and then I get an engineering degree, and then I'll get a job. I won't get a job because there are no jobs available. I could always drive a rickshaw, but I didn't need to go to Manipal to study to drive a rickshaw. You probably earn just as much as a lot of people do by driving a rickshaw. You just have to learn how to squeeze money out of people and so on. It's not a difficult thing. You don't need a degree to do that. So, so many lights, boom, 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 boom. There are so many insects. They're born in the evening after sunset, and they have their whole life. They grow up, they get their university degree. No, they don't get a university degree. Insects don't need that. But anyway, they go through different stages. They reproduce, they have sex, and they're dead before sunrise. That's their whole life. And for them, oh, yeah, very long life. Have to plan ahead. Who's going to be my wife? And I have to think about my children. Of course, insects, they may not have so much developed consciousness, but it's the same thing with how I will go on with my life. And it's all over. Boom, finished. So Krishna gives us a very different message. This is not from Bhagavad Gita, but it's spoken by Krishna. Labdvasu durlavamidam bahu sambhavante manusham artadam anityam apiha dhira turnam yateta napatet anumritya yava nishrayasaya vishaya kalu sarvata syat. Krishna says, you have a human form of life. Who is he speaking to? To jivas who are in a human form. You have a human form of life. That's good luck for you. Because it's only attained after many, many births. How many times have I been an insect that's born in the darkness and dies in the darkness? How many times have I been a snake or a dog or a chimpanzee or a koala bear or a dinosaur or a worm in stool or a more high-class worm, a worm in the earth? How many births have I taken? How many births will I take? Krishna says, having attained this human form of life, we should think like this and do whatever is needed to get out of this cycle of birth and death. Don't get born again. So many times people come, oh, it's my birthday. Nothing to celebrate. It means you're just another day towards your death. Every day is a death day. We're moving towards our death. So do what we have to do to get out of this cycle of birth and death. And if you say, well, I want to enjoy myself. Okay, you can do it. You already did it as a cat, a dog, a chimpanzee, a gorilla. You can do it again. Have fun. But an intelligent person thinks how to get out of this. Did anyone ever teach you this at school? No. Did your parents teach you this? No. Will they be happy that someone's teaching you this? They will be happy? Really? Unusual parents. Vishaya kalu sarvatasyat. We want to enjoy this world. The dogs are also enjoying. You want to have a happy life, then just become a dog. Dogs, they sleep all day and they run around at night. They become very bold. There's no one to throw stones at them. They run around at night barking and they have no anxiety. They don't know where their food's going to come from. They live somewhere or other. They eat some garbage here and there. So you want to be happy in this material world? Why be a Manipal student? Better become a dog or a pig. Pigs are very fat. They eat well. In front of the church in Udupi, they're advertising pork. What is that? Did you see Vishnuchitta? Right in front of the church there's a big sign advertising pork, something or other. So you can be a pig, and then you'll end up as someone's pork meal. You know what pork is? Ever heard of pork? It's not very popular in India. They like mutton and chicken. Blech. Hare Krishna. Thank you, Srila Prabhupada, for saving me from all these horrible things. So, think, differently. Don't think how I will be happy in this life. Now, if we tell you to think how to be, don't think how to be happy in this life, think how to be happy eternally. People think, well, that doesn't make sense. You have to be happy now, right? Try to be happy now. You don't know what's going to happen in future. They say you don't know if there's life after death, so why should you try for something? You're not sure. You can't be sure there's life after death, right? So why not be happy now? Sounds like good philosophy. Yeah, it's pig's philosophy. Dog's philosophy. It means no philosophy. There is birth and death. It's not just a Hindu theory. It's a fact. It makes sense even scientifically. For every action, there is a reaction. Why are some people born in a rich family, good-looking, good intelligence, and others are born in some poverty-stricken situation, disease-ridden? Why? Is it, well, some people would say, well, there was a big bang and then all the atoms, all the matter came into being and the universe is just going on like that and there's no reason. But then if there's no reason, then why did they study science and try to find out why everything is coming? There's a reason behind everything. We're suffering in this material world. Why? Because we forgot Krishna. Remember Krishna? We go to Krishna. So think differently. Think of Krishna. Not so differently that everything will be completely chaotic. Actually, even before you can think differently, even to be an apple different thinker, you have to learn the basics. You have to just like, for instance, if you want to... Who can write some different kind of completely new concept in software engineering? Who can do that? Someone who has a strong grip on the basics, right? Who can be a great musician and do improvisation? One who knows the basics very well. So we have to know the basics. In spiritual life there's variety. It's not that everything's all the same. But we have to learn the basics. The basics is, I am an eternal servant of Krishna. That's it. Krishna is supreme. We're all his servants. That's all. Very simple thing to understand. But it seems difficult for us. So this is our proposition. Think differently. Some of you are committed to that. At least when you're here, you're dressing in a style that if you went outside in the streets in Manipal or in the college, would they allow you in the college dressed like this? No, they don't allow you. Some years ago, I was in Sri Rangam. Who of you have been to Sri Rangam? Who of you know what Sri Rangam is? It's a major Vishnu temple of the Sri Vaishnava Sampradaya, if you know what that is. So I was there during a festival and there was a young boy, from my perspective, young boy, he was about 30 years old, maybe mid-20s, like that, chanting beautifully prayers from the Divya Prabandhams, which is a Tamil devotional text. I don't understand Tamil, but anyway, just by hearing, the recitation sounded very beautiful to me. So, after I happened to know someone who is the uncle of that boy. So after some time when I met that uncle who was in Dubai, I asked him, what about that boy? What's he doing now? He's very devotional. He told me, oh, now he's in America as a software engineer. He just wanted to serve the Lord, but because of family necessity, he's a software engineer in America. So after some time, I asked him again, where is he now? Now he's in Bangalore. The company sent him back to India, to Bangalore. And he told me the funny thing is, when he was in America, he could go to his office with his full shika and tilak, everything. When he came to Bangalore, he said, no. In America, it's okay. In India, it's not. What a rascal country this has become. They call it Punya Bhumi, but they're determined that Kangs was also born in India, so we're going to follow him. Why should we follow Krishna? Well, news for you, Krishna kills Kangs. So better be on Krishna's side. But they want to be with all the Ravana, they like Ravana and Hiranyakashipu and Kangs and all these demons. So our proposition is think differently, be different, don't be dragged by this nonsense so-called civilization which is not even dragging you to hell, it's pushing you, throwing you, it's making a hellish situation. And yeah, you're looking at the clock, my parole is almost over, I have to go back to prison. Okay, well that's it. Think differently, chant Hare Krishna, go to Krishna, don't stay in this material world. It's simply miserable. Live a civilized life. Manipal is completely uncivilized, or mixing of boys and girls. Ugh, horrible. That's what takes you to hell. That's the main gate to hell. Kamam, what are the three main gates to hell? Trividham narakasyedam dwaram nashanam atmanaha kamas krodas tatalopas tasmat etat trayang tyajet. There are three gates to hell, and the first is karma, material desire, lust, then anger and greed. Therefore these three should be given up. But Manipal is based on increasing them more and more and more. So be different. You're all intelligent enough to come here and not spoil your life in the regular Manipal grinder sending you to hell. Take it seriously. Follow Bhagavad Gita as it is. Chant Hare Krishna. Don't be a victim of this so-called enjoyment, of the so-called happiness of this material world. Okay, I'm finishing now. Hare Krishna. Any questions? Quick. I have to go pretty soon.
There is said to have, we have three types of materials, like sattva, rajas, and gunas. So like, since rajas and tamas are not the like proper, we should more inculcate the sattva.
We should try to, imbibe. First you have to imbibe, then you can inculcate.
Yeah. So why is there existence of the rajas and tamas guna in the first place?
Why is there existence of rajoguna and tamaguna? Because we want to forget Krishna. So Krishna gives the facility to do so, to forget Krishna.
Why does Krishna want us to like...
No, Krishna wants you to love him, but you don't want to love him. That's why we're in this material world. That's why you're asking such questions. Krishna bhuli se jiva nadi bahimuk ataiv maya tare daya shangshardu. Forgetting Krishna, since time immemorial, we're avoiding Krishna. And therefore, maya gives us so many difficulties. It's our fault. Don't blame Krishna. We don't have to remain in this material world. We can go to Krishna. Therefore, Krishna comes and teaches us. He comes as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He sends his devotees, Srila Prabhupada, so many great devotees. Once a devotee asked Srila Prabhupada, why is Maya so strong? And Srila Prabhupada answered, because your determination is not strong. So we have to decide, do we want Krishna or we want Maya? anything else? Yeah.
What is the meaning of Buddhi Yukta?
Buddhi Yukta Jahati Ha. Buddhi yukta, you can understand, right? You know the word buddhi, what it means? Yeah, intelligence. And yukta, you know what that means? It means to be joined with. It means practically to have intelligence, to actually use the intelligence. Buddhi yukta jahati ha upe sukrita duskra. It's in there in Bhagavad Gita. Yeah, yeah. So, employing the intelligence, one sees beyond the happiness and distress of this material world. What's the verse number? Why don't you? You can't understand the translation. What did you? You said. I know the verse, but I don't know the number. Buddhi yukto, yeah, it's text 50. Buddhi yukto jahati ha ubhe sukrita duskrita tasmad yogaya yujyasva yoga karmasu kosalam. So buddhi yukta means, yeah, one who is engaged in devotional service. Means one who's actually, yukta means the same as yoga, to be joined with. So generally people have intelligence, but their real intelligence is, they're divorced from that. Their real intelligence means to know what is for my actual benefit. So Srila Prabhupada summarizes that by saying, buddhi yukta, one who is engaged in devotional service. That's real intelligence. So there you go, it's right there in the book. Why does Srila Prabhupada always translate everything in terms of devotional service? Where Krishna says, yoga karma sukoshalam. Yoga, Srila Prabhupada translates as Krishna consciousness. You may say, well, that's not what Krishna said. He said yoga. But real yoga means to link with Krishna. Yomam pashyati sarvatra sarvam chamai pashyati tasyaham napranashyami sachame napranashyati. Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, for one who sees me everywhere and everything in me, I am never lost to him and he is never lost. And I am never lost to him and he is never lost to me. So if the message of Bhagavad Gita is to see Krishna everywhere and in everything, then why not in every verse of Bhagavad Gita? That's the actual message of Gita. Yoga means to be linked with Krishna. Yes, please.
Can I want to ask how watching movies and TVs can affect our consciousness?
How can movies and TV affect our consciousness? Look it up on Google. There's plenty of stuff out there which to show how even the non-devotees, they recommend, if you want your children to be well-behaved and intelligent, don't let them watch TV. Just like Steve Jobs, when some new, what are they called, iPod or something was coming out, and he was asked, well, what do your kids think about it? He said, I don't let my kids have it. I don't give it to my kids. I want them to be intelligent. These are... TV means idiot box. It's for making you into an idiot. TV means kaam, means lust, all sex. Krodh, violence. And lobha, advertisements. Buy this, buy that. Why are there advertisements? That means you don't need it, but they want you to buy it. If you needed it, you wouldn't need an advertisement, right? So TV is 100% kaam, krodh, lobha. Therefore, don't watch it. Unless you have some good Krishna conscious TV show. But even then, studying Bhagavad Gita and discussing it, that's better actually. Yeah. How being sinless is related to developing our spiritual knowledge. Well, if you have to ask that, you really don't have much hope of developing any spiritual knowledge. It should be obvious that if we're engaged in sinful activities, we can't advance spiritually. Advancing spiritually means to become pure, to become free from all the contaminations in the heart. And sinful activities, illicit sex, gambling, intoxication, meat eating, they contaminate the heart. I think I should finish. Yeah. One more question you want to ask? Yeah. There's a whole process. It's called Bhakti Yoga. Where's that book? I don't have time to explain it all, but the essence is given in this book, A Beginner's Guide to Krishna Consciousness. And having said that, I think you can just quickly introduce the books and then we should go. So you all have Bhagavad Gita as it is, is it? Whoever doesn't have it, definitely get it and read it. Yeah, go ahead.